Hello and welcome to the Impact Alumni Podcast. Today is February 4th, 2009, and you're listening to Episode 2. Welcome to the Impact Alumni Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Clifford. I've been in alumni relations now for 13 years, and I'm currently the president and CEO of the East Carolina Alumni Association. This podcast is produced at least monthly and exists to provide free and convenient professional development for alumni relations practitioners. We have a great show lined up for you today. We will be talking with George Dorfman of the Duke Alumni Association and also the 2008 CAAE Foreman Fellow. He'll be joining us today on the show to talk about the research that he did as a Foreman Fellow in the particular area of international alumni relations. In our Buzz on the Blog segment, we will be talking about crowdsourcing and what exactly that is and how the University of California at San Diego Alumni Association is using crowdsourcing. And finally on the show, in our Just in Case section, we're going to take a look at a number of case publications that have come out recently, the January and February issue of Case Currents, some of the articles that were included, talk about an upcoming conference, and some awards deadlines. But first, here is our conversation with George Dorfman of the Duke Alumni Association. I'm excited to welcome George Dorfman to the Impact Alumni Podcast. Welcome to the show, George.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to talk to you.
George is the Associate Director of Alumni Affairs at the Duke Alumni Association. He is also a 2008 Foreman Fellow for the Council of Alumni Association Executives. George, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the profession, and what your role at Duke entails.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do all those things. If I forget anything you just asked me, just let me know.
Okay.
This is my 15th year in the Duke Alumni Association. My responsibilities have grown a little bit over time. Right now, I'm responsible for activities, events, and volunteer programs that take place away from Durham, where our alums live. Duke is a place that has basically 80% of our alumni, so we have a pretty large constituency that we need to try to cater to. I oversee that, and the student, young alumni, and I guess networking kinds of programming that we do here has somehow fallen under my umbrella as well.
Well, for those of you that don't know about the Foreman Fellowship, CAAE established the Robert G. Foreman Fellowship to encourage the advancement of high-potential senior alumni relations professionals into chief alumni relations positions. The Foreman Fellowships are named in honor of the founder of CAAE and former executive director of the University of Michigan Alumni Association. Each year, they select up to three fellows, and they have the opportunity to visit two CAAE member alumni associations. Each fellow is requested to give a report and at the CAAE, I believe, Summer Institute. And in exchange for the research that the fellows do, each fellow is given a $2,500 grant to cover their expenses. So that's a little bit about the Foreman Fellowship. George, tell the folks how you actually became a Foreman Fellow.
Well, it took me, it must be very competitive because it took me a few years. I can't remember how many, but I'd applied for a few different years at the encouragement of my boss, our executive director. And kind of, I don't know whether it was the content of what I wanted to study or if they were just tired of seeing my name, but I was fortunately selected last year. And had a chance to meet a lot of great people who, you know, are kind of leaders in this profession, and to travel to places and be welcomed with open arms no matter where I went, and then to do a little bit of research as well. So it was great. I really enjoyed it, and I made some connections then, even though, you know, they're the directors and I'm the associate director level, that I've maintained and stayed in touch with people in the last year. So it was a great experience.
Well, I'm sure that you were selected
Not because they didn't want to see your name anymore, but because of the topic. And it's a great topic that you chose. It's a topic that a lot of alumni associations, as you mentioned in your report that I was just looking over, which was great. It's a lot of times we're tasked with programming in your topic area, and yet there's no strategy about it. And when I say your topic area, you chose to focus on international alumni relations. Talk about your research and how you approached the research, and mention the other institutions that you visited and why you decided to go to those institutions.
Okay, we'll see if I can tackle that. I guess the force behind picking that topic was that we here at Duke as an alumni association had been charged with investigating that as well. As an institution, Duke is a place that says we're increasingly international, and I guess in a lot of ways we are, but from an alumni association standpoint, we really didn't have a plan. It was what I like to say is a plan, where if someone said to you, you know, what does the alumni association do internationally, that you could actually answer the question in a way that had some strategic goals. So for the last couple of years, it was something that we had been trying to explore. And even though we had come up with what we thought were interesting answers to that question, I thought it would be a good idea to look at some other places as well, and places that were different than Duke, which is obviously a private, relatively small institution, to kind of get different perspectives on what we were trying to do, and I guess to learn about the common challenges that everyone had and maybe some solutions as well. So I guess my traveling visits were to Cal, Berkeley, and to University of Minnesota, and in honor of Paul, I had to make a local trip to East Carolina as well and just drive over there. As I said before, everyone was terrific. I guess I learned, as is the case with everything you look at, you realize how much you really don't know. And I learned that we didn't know a lot. I learned that, you know, basically every school is unique in that they have different priorities and different directives from, you know, the leadership of the university. And, you know, the Alumni Association is really just there to try and help support some of those things. So I guess the most important thing is that if you can get a clearly articulated view or strategy from the top, then that will certainly help you as you define what you're trying to do and how you're utilizing your resources. I guess the other thing I confirmed is that, you know, working with international objectives takes a lot more time and energy than the normal traditional domestic objectives. You've got lots of different barriers, not counting time and language and culture, but expense. And it's a fine balance between spending your time and energy with a relatively small population, which is true for all schools, that the alums who live overseas is significantly smaller percentage-wise than those that live domestically. So trying to balance how you're going to spend that extra time and energy to help kind of make your world a smaller place, and as opposed to spending that time and energy locally where you have a lot more people and it's a lot easier. So it was definitely worthwhile. I don't know that I found any answers that anybody can truly incorporate, but we came up with a few different things that I think, depending on what the school's priorities are, you can probably try to mesh into what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, one of the things that I enjoyed when I was reading through your report was a concept that you talk about, creating an international state of mind. What does an institution need to do, like an East Carolina or like a Duke, need to do to create an international state of mind?
Well, I think one of the things that I saw or observed in just about every institution, and I would include Duke in that, is that there's a lot of different parts of every university. And as we know, sometimes we work well together and sometimes we don't. If the university has certain strategic goals that are international, I think it's important that the Alumni Association proactively makes themselves part of that in whatever way is appropriate, just as we would for just about anything else that's strategic. You know, I think most universities look to their alumni body for some sort of help or assistance in most of the strategic things that they do, whether it's, you know, asking for money or asking for time and support or connections. You know, for every school are pretty much an invaluable resource. And I think the same thing holds true internationally, so that if, you know, there's an area of the world that the university has some kind of academic collaboration or is focusing on in terms of you know, admissions or something like that, then, you know, I see it as our responsibility to reach out to the departments on campus that are leading it and saying, we can help and you're going to have a hard time keeping us away. Really identifying the most important places for your school and then making sure that you're a part of it.
So what about this experience in researching at these other institutions surprised you?
What surprised me? I think, well, it was almost a year ago, and I'm getting old, so my memory isn't that good. But in a positive way, I was really pleasantly surprised by just how welcoming everyone was. We all know that there are people coming to campus asking us questions and asking for our time pretty regularly, and I know that that's our job. But everyone went out of their way to, you know, connect me with, you know, basically the top people that could help me answer some of these questions. So I think from a personal or development standpoint, I was, you know, just kind of overwhelmed by the hospitality of everyone and the fact that they just went out of their way to be nice. So that's certainly a positive thing. But, you know, in terms of actual, you know, what did I learn and content, I think the most significant thing is that, and we know this already, but, you know, each school is just so unique and it is so different that I kind of went into this thinking, oh, I could create a just add water kind of template that anybody could incorporate into and make a few different changes and, you know, there's your international plan. And I think that may have been a little naive and unrealistic because, you know, each place has its own priorities and its own strategies, and you can have some overarching goals, but really, you know, each school needs to look at itself as a unique entity, and that each alumni association, you know, if they want to go down this road, they really need to kind of dig into the guts of what's going on at the school and kind of make decisions that way and not just say because East Carolina or Duke did it this way, that's going to work for us, because in reality, it may not.
Well, you talked about how each school is unique, and I certainly agree with that. Your report also does take some of those, does give a few, I guess, what I would call prescriptive steps that one could take, and these are a little bit of a higher level, like we were talking about, not down into the nitty gritty where the uniqueness of our institutions really becomes apparent. But what are maybe four or five different things that schools could do who are looking to internationalize their program? What are maybe 50,000 feet kind of strategies that they could implement?
Well, luckily I have it in front of me, or else I would have had a lot of trouble remembering some of these things. But there's a few things that I think pretty much anybody can do, and I don't know that there's any particular order of priority, but at least I think for us, one of them is that, you know, as hard as we try to make sure that our data is good, it's not always perfect, and especially internationally where there are different, you know, ways of different fields for addresses and all that kind of stuff. So one of the things that I think is important is kind of broaden the definition of who we consider to be international. And what we did as kind of an exercise is not limit our, I guess, quote, international population to people for whom we, you know, that live out of the country, but to expand it into basically anybody who's lived out of the country ever, you know, so using your data to figure that out. Any students who've come from overseas, regardless of where they live now, any students who have studied out of the country. We've broadened it to include faculty who we know have worked overseas or done research. So what we basically did was kind of triple our base of people that we are going to, which is kind of the next step, customize our communication to. So, you know, if people have some sort of international interest, we wanted to, you know, be as broad as possible in that definition. And I think that that's one way to kind of increase the number of people who get the information that you send, regardless of what it is. And two, kind of just create a stronger numbers group that helps validate some of the time and energy that you're spending. So I guess redefining what we consider to be international is one thing. I think kind of customizing or targeting some communication, and particularly for that community. So sending, whether you want to call it an international newsletter or something like that, just to that group with information that is particularly of interest, you know, to them. So it's not only the information you would send out to your entire alumni body about what's going on campus or things that you need done, but specific things that the university is doing from an international perspective. As a matter of fact, we're putting one together now and just trying to think of what facts or what things of interest we should include in it. So whether it's, you know, upcoming events, if you have any that are going on overseas, or previous ones, or, you know, interesting academic research that has been taking place overseas, or just the whole thing. It's basically customizing that message so that you hopefully will capture their attention in a way that actually interests them. And by them, I kind of mean that group. So that's another. I think we've tried to look at that international group as its own group. So just like you would have, whether it's a regional club that's kind of its own group, or a class for a reunion, or any other kind of affinity group, we're trying to treat our international group as a zone affinity and try to build a community of international Duke people. So that's something that you can do that with any school. And, you know, I think in terms of anything else, you know, we've just considered expanding the marketing that we have done. So it would include individuals and groups that would traditionally kind of be outside of the normal communication. So you normally send information to your alums or your donors or your friends, but we are considering expanding that to, you know, perhaps local high schools and guidance counselors in different countries, or perhaps putting information on local websites and things like that really just kind of get the school's name in front of people in a variety of different ways. One of the challenges there is that you don't really, you know, living where you're here, on campus in your office, you don't know offhand exactly what the right places to connect with the local alums are. And you really need to rely on your alums to help point you in the right direction there. So those are a few things that kind of came up with, and we're giving it a shot here. I don't know that we can see any results yet. It may be too early, but if we created it, we're going to give it a shot.
Well, George, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Impact Alumni Podcast. You can get more information about the Duke Alumni Association at www.dukealumni.com, and you could email George with any specific questions that you have. His email address is george.dorfman@daa.duke.edu. George, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Once again, thanks to George for joining us on the podcast today. Now is the segment on the show that we call Buzz on the Blogs. You know, yesterday I ran across an interesting concept on Twitter. It's called crowdsourcing. You know, this is a concept where via portal you ask a crowd or an audience their ideas. Then others can add ideas and vote on their favorite ideas, thus, you know, ranking the best ideas, or more specifically, the most important wants and needs of your constituency. The University of California, San Diego, launched Alumni Idea, and I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes, and you can see that on the website where this blog is hosted on ialumni.blogspot.com. But the University of California at San Diego's Alumni Association launched Alumni Idea. It's a platform that allows UCSD alumni to submit ideas towards building an alumni network, like what sites you may have run into, like My Starbucks Idea. Other users can then put ideas in or vote on their favorite ideas. And a really interesting concept. It was highlighted on Amy Yen's American Shelf Life blog, and she writes, although unlike with products like computers or even coffee shops, alumni relations seems like a rather limiting topic. It'd be interesting to see if Alumni Idea can sustain any kind of momentum along its base. Regardless, always good to see schools trying out social media tools and looking for different ways to communicate. And you can read that on Amy Yen's blog, and again, I'll put a link to her blog in the show notes. And Amy, thank you for sharing this with us. This is an interesting concept. It'll be interesting to see how the success that UCSD has, whether they're able to implement some, all, or any of the ideas that are suggested on that. The possibilities are endless, and it'll be interesting to see how the University of California, San Diego's Alumni Association's Alumni Idea crowdsourcing platform works for them. Now is the segment we call Just in Case, and we're going to take a look at some Case Current articles. We're going to take a look at the awards deadline that's coming up for the Circle of Excellence Awards, and we're going to highlight an upcoming Case conference. The January and February issues of Currents contains a number of good articles about alumni relations. The first is a look at social networking sites and their alumni relations applications. This is a great article that asks six alumni professionals from around the globe their thoughts about Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and LinkedIn. One of the professionals interviewed is Andy Shanlon from Caltech. Andy's the current chair of the Commission on Alumni Relations and also an alumni relations blogger. You can read Andy's blog at alumnifutures.com. I'll post the link to his blog in the show notes. Andy encourages others to take a risk, try something, because it's happening with or without you. The essence of the article is to stop talking and thinking about using social networking sites to connect with alumni, and as Nike says, to just do it. There are some fantastic tidbits in this article, especially in the In Short section of the article that Mara King Scully, the author of the article, offers. The age cohorts associated with each of the major social networking sites are helpful if you're developing your online engagement strategy. You know, Facebook and LinkedIn appeal to alumni ages 25 to 49, while MySpace might be more appropriate for your admissions office given the popularity with the 12 to 17 cohort. She references the Nielsen Online Analyst blog at nielsen-online.com/blog/2008. And again, I'll put all the websites that I reference, I will try to make sure that I put them in the blog notes, in the show notes on ialumni.blogspot.com. So what do you think? How are you using social networks? Are you on Facebook? Do you use MySpace? Are you using Twitter to get little bursts of information out to your alumni population? Let me know. Shoot me an email about how your office is using social networking sites, or just let me know in the comment section on ialumni.blogspot.com, or you could always, again, send me an email at impactalumni@gmail.com. Other articles in the last two issues of Currents about alumni relations include Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's the Case VIP for research and information, his analysis of a recent survey about online social communities. Thompson points out that although most alumni offices are using online social communities, many have yet to tie their performance of these communities to the overall goals of the association. Thompson also teases readers about a future benefit to be offered by Case called OSCAR. OSCAR will be an online benchmarking tool that will be available to measure and assess your program as well as benchmarking against peer institutions. I've seen this product firsthand, and it's awesome. It's going to be unbelievable what this product will allow us to do as alumni relations practitioners. If used widely by alumni offices, it is the answer to some of the evaluation and measurement questions that alumni directors often struggle with. And so I'm excited about the release of Oscar, and I hope you are too, and I hope we get to see that soon. I know a couple of the communities of practice, like CAAE and PQUAD, which stands for Private Colleges and University Alumni Directors, are going to be, in essence, test driving this for CASE before release to the general public. But I'm excited about this online benchmarking tool that CASE is going to be offering to its members for free. Gail Bennett, a senior editor for Currents, offers a look at volunteer engagement in the February issue of Currents magazine. She looks at some of the challenges that they pose. She offers some key steps in keeping relationships with these volunteers on task and positive, so I encourage you to check out her article in the February issue of Currents. Well, the CASE Summer Institute for Alumni Relations will be held July 26th through the 30th in Burlington, Vermont, and yours truly will be on the faculty again this year. Our program is going to be packed with valuable sessions aimed to help alumni professionals take their programs to the next level. Check it out. Check out CASE's website. I don't believe they have the information for the Summer Institute up yet, but save the dates, July 26th through 30th. This is a professional development opportunity you will not want to miss. And finally, in the Just in CASE segment, the 2009 Circle of Excellence Awards have been announced, and the deadline for submission will be Friday, March 13th of 2009. You can go on the CASE website at www.case.org and get all the information about the 2009 Circle of Excellence Awards. How do your programs measure up against those from around the world? Submit your award nomination today and find out. And again, that deadline is Friday, March 13th for the CASE Circle of Excellence Awards. Well, I hope you enjoyed this show. This is the second episode, but it is the first real show of the Impact Alumni Podcast. I would love to hear your feedback. Leave me a comment on ialumni.blogspot.com or shoot me an email at impactalumni@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/impactalumni. And of course, become a fan of the show on Facebook. Just search for Impact Alumni under the group pages. Well, that's the first one in the books. I'm excited to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening. I do want to mention that this podcast is not connected or endorsed by East Carolina University or the East Carolina Alumni Association. Along the same lines, it is not endorsed by the Council of Alumni Association Executives or the Council for the Advancement and Support of Education. This is just something that I'm doing on my own to help in maybe some small way fellow alumni relations practitioners. That's it for episode 2. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, leave me comments or send me an email. I look forward to hearing from you. And until our next podcast, take care.